Dummies in Woodsfield. We have dummies in Vienna, too. I guess they're dummies everywhere you go. I have no idea what that means. It's good to be with you again today. How can I know this? How will this be? These are two very simple questions asked by two individuals, very similar circumstances. An angel appears to a man by the name of Zechariah. He was a priest from the tribe of Levi of the division of Abijah. Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth are childless. They are well along in years, and Elizabeth was barren. While Zechariah was serving as priest before God when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And while the people were praying outside, there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah, as I think we all would be, was troubled when he saw him, and he was afraid. But then the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. He must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is advanced in years." And then an angel also appears to a young woman by the name of Mary. She also is childless. But she, however, is a virgin. She is pledged to be married to a Jewish man from the tribe of Judah of the house of David, whose name is Joseph. They will be married soon. And when the angel came to Mary, he said to her, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and she tried to discern what sort of greeting this was. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" Zechariah the old priest says, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is very advanced in years." And Mary, the young virgin, asks, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" On the surface, these are two very seemingly similar questions. They're asked by two individuals who, in their current condition, are unable to have children. Zechariah's wife, Elizabeth, is barren, and they are past the age of childbearing. And, of course, Mary is a virgin. The angel Gabriel responds to both Zechariah and to Mary in answer to their questions. And though the questions may seem similar to us, Gabriel's response to them is very different. To Zechariah, Gabriel says, "I am Gabriel." You know, if you start out that way, it's probably not going to be good. "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news." And here comes the bad part. "And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." To Mary, the angel says, a little bit softer, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God. Why is it that Zechariah's question evoked a rebuke from Gabriel, while Mary's response did not? Why is it that Zechariah was struck with muteness? Didn't both Zechariah and Mary question? Didn't they both have a question and question how it was possible for the event that Gabriel said was going to happen was going to happen? Luke does not give us an explanation here. He does not explain why Mary's question does not generate the same kind of response from Gabriel as Zechariah's did. So even though the questions are similar, Gabriel's reaction to these questions do indicate that there was some degree of difference between Zechariah and Mary. There was some degree of difference in their faith. Zechariah says, he asks, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." If I could paraphrase Gabriel's response, his question, "How shall I know this?" Here's what I would say that Zechariah is really saying. "What you are saying is not possible because my wife is barren. And besides, we are too old to have children." Or maybe, "I'm not sure that what you are saying is really going to happen. It's not going to come to pass. So how can I know for sure that it's going to happen?" Zechariah's response indicates a lack of faith on his part. And here's why. Zechariah was a Jewish priest. We're told this by Luke. He would have known, he would have been immersed in the Hebrew scriptures. He would have known the traditions. He would have known the stories. He would have heard these from his youth. The story of Abraham. He would have known the promise that God made to Abraham. God said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be your name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings of people shall come from her." And Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, "Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?" And Abraham said to God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before you." God said, "No, but Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son. And you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him." Zechariah would have known that. He would have known that this promise that God made to Abraham was fulfilled. The Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did to Sarah as he had promised. And Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, "God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me." She said, "Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age." How many times would Zechariah have heard those words of Scripture? Abraham was the father of all Israelites. And though through Abraham, God created a nation through whom all nations on earth would be blessed. God promised Abraham and Sarah a son. And the Israelite nation was begun miraculously. God promised and God delivered. Did that just happen once, though, in Israel's history? Sarah was not the only barren woman who was told by God that she would be given a child in spite of her inability to bear children. In each of these situations, God used the child that was born to accomplish his purposes. Zechariah would certainly have known of these situations. He would have known of how God worked in the lives of these individuals and that God displayed his power through them. In the book of Judges, we read of a man from the tribe of Dan named Manoah, whose wife was barren. Like Zechariah and Mary, an angel of the Lord appeared to Manoah's wife and said to her, "Behold, you are barren and have not borne children, but you shall conceive and bear a son." And the angel gave the woman specific instructions, and these might sound familiar from what we read earlier in Luke. "Be careful and drink no wine or strong drink. Eat nothing unclean, for behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. No razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to save Israel from the hand of the Philistines." According to this account, the woman went straight to her husband and told her husband about the visit from the angel and his message and the instructions that the angel gave to her. And when Manoah had heard what happened, this was his prayer to the Lord. "O Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent come again to us and teach us what we are to do with the child who will be born." Who will be born. God listened to the voice of Manoah, and he sent the angel once again to the woman, who ran quickly to find her husband. And when Manoah came to the man, he said to him, this is what Manoah said, "Now when your words come true, what is to be the child's manner of life, and what is his mission?" You hear what Manoah's response is? It's one of faith. "Now when your words come true," Manoah and his wife fully believed, were convinced that God had the power to do just as the angel said. Maybe they too knew what God had done through Abraham. They did not question whether or not it would happen, but they wanted to know how God would use their child. And it did happen. God gave Manoah and his son and his wife a son, and his name was Samson. The young man grew, and the Lord blessed him. God used Samson to bring down the Philistines, who were the enemies of the Israelites. In 1 Samuel, we read of another miraculous birth, not just two, but three. This book begins with the account of a man by the name of Elkanah, who had two wives, Hannah and Peninnah. Peninnah had children. Hannah had no children. Elkanah would go to Shiloh on an annual basis to sacrifice, and on the day he would offer these, he would give portions of his sacrifice to his wives. To Hannah, he would give a double portion, says because he loved her, though the Lord had closed her womb. Peninnah would provoke Hannah to irritate her, and that caused Hannah sadness. She wept and she would not eat. And one time when she was distressed, she prayed this prayer to the Lord. "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head." When Eli, the priest, saw her praying, and he learned that she was not drunk, as he thought, he said to her, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition that you have made to him." And she said, "Let your servant find favor in your eyes." Then the woman went on her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. They rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord. Then they went back to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And in due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Samuel, for she said, "I have asked for him from the Lord." After Samuel was weaned, he lived in the high priest's house. He took over the judgeship when Eli's own sons died for their sins. And Samuel was responsible for anointing Israel's first two kings, Saul and David. another momentous period of time in Israel's history. So we see that throughout Israel's history, God showed mercy to the childless and barren. Not only did he bless the barren woman by giving her a child, but he blessed Israel through them. And then he used the child for his own purposes to display his power and might. So when the angel Gabriel appears to Zechariah and told him that his wife Elizabeth would bear him a son, this certainly is not the first time that God made this promise. In the Hebrew scriptures, each time that God promised to do this, he acted on his promise. And the child that was born played a pretty major role in the kingdom. So when Zechariah asks Gabriel, the messenger of God, how can I know this? It's like he slaps him in the face. It's like he slaps God in the face. How can I know this? Because God gave Isaac to Abraham and Sarah when they were 100 years old, and Isaac was the child of the covenant. Because he gave Manoah and his wife a son, even though she was barren, and Samson became a mighty warrior and leader among the Israelites. Because he gave the weeping and distressed Hannah a child, even though she was childless, Samuel grew up to be a judge and prophet of the Lord and anointed Saul and David. And God was at work again to give Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth a son, and he would come in the spirit of Elijah and prepare the way for the son of Mary, the son of God. Why then was Zechariah rebuked? The angel Gabriel explains, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time. In spite of the stories, in spite of the manner in which God used the barren and the childless to fulfill his purposes throughout the ages, Zechariah responded to the good news that his wife would bear a child in unbelief. So Zechariah is rebuked, and Mary is not, even though her question... Now, this is probably where we feel a little bit, it's like, is this unjust, right? Maybe we can accept the fact that Zechariah was rebuked. But then along comes Mary, and we should think, well, shouldn't she get the same thing? She asks a question too. This is like the children, right? Well, you know, Zechariah says, well, there's the question. Why doesn't something happen to her? How will this be? It doesn't seem to be much different than Zechariah's. How can I know this? And there's nothing in Luke's account. Luke doesn't do what we would want him to do and explain clearly why she is not rebuked for a question. The angel Gabriel only answers the question. He explains to her how Mary will conceive even though she is a virgin. It will not be through the natural means of conception between a husband and a wife. Gabriel just says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So we kind of have to kind of read between the lines, right? Based on this explanation by the angel, we can assume that Mary was not questioning the angel's announcement in unbelief, but was simply wondering how it was going to happen. How is this possible? This hasn't, even though God has brought children through miraculous means, he's not really done it this way before. So how is this going to happen? Not how is this possible? Mary did not question that God had the power to make it happen. She literally wanted to know the means by which it was going to happen, since she was a virgin. So after Gabriel explains the means by which she would conceive, Mary responds with the following, a response of faith. Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. The difference between Zechariah's response and Mary's response can be better understood if we look at what Paul says in Romans 4. Paul is speaking of Abraham's faith, and he says, in hope, he, Abraham, believed against hope, that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Like Abraham, Mary was fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. God had the power to give life to that which previously could not bring forth life. Sarah's womb was dead. Abraham did not waver concerning the promise of God, as did Zechariah. Like Mary, Abraham grew strong in his faith and gave glory to God. Thankfully, Zechariah's story does not end with his unbelief. It does not end with the rebuke by Gabriel and the consequence for his unbelief, being struck with muteness. But Zechariah's story ends in belief. After the birth of their son, Zechariah and Elizabeth take him to be circumcised, and that's the point when they would give their child a name. They would have called him Zechariah after the father, but the mother said, no, he shall be called John. And they said to her, why would you call him John? None of your relatives are named by that. And they made signs to the father, inquiring what he wanted him to be called. So he asks for a writing tablet because he can't talk. And he wrote, his name is John. And they all wondered. And at that point, immediately, his mouth was open, his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. Well, he named him John because that was the command that the angel Gabriel gave him. And Zechariah, at that point, was filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is what he prophesied and said. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people, in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Zechariah remembered at that moment the promise of Abraham, given to Abraham. Our God is a God who raises the dead, who breathes life into that which is lifeless, who gives hope and peace and rest. He cares for the oppressed and the downcast. He has compassion on the helpless. May we, like Mary, like Abraham, like Manoah, like Hannah, and eventually like Zechariah, may we be fully convinced that God is able to do what he has promised. Let us be like Zechariah, be convinced that when our faith is weak, we can be strengthened. And let us give glory to God when he rebukes us, when he disciplines us for our unbelief, and when he restores us. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. If there is any need that you have this morning, we invite you to come to the front as we stand and sing.